And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, contrary to American culture, popular American culture, the church has always celebrated Christmas as a 12-day feast. The remnants of this are found in that repetitive song that we learned in our childhood. Today is the eighth day of Christmas, and it happens to fall on the first day of our calendar year. But this day is special because we commemorate an important event in the life of our Lord. We heard that in the last verse of our gospel lesson this morning, where St. Luke wrote, "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." The birth of a child is always a momentous event in the life of a family. In those days, family and friends would gather together on the eighth day after the birth of a son for the purpose of his circumcision. It was the moment in which that child was brought into the covenant which God had made with their forefather, Abraham. And it was also the time in which the name of the newborn son was revealed. St. Luke tells us that was exactly what happened with Jesus on the eighth day after his birth. The church essentially carries on this practice, this ancient practice, when we baptize our children. Even though we may not baptize them on the eighth day, it's the same idea. Our children are brought into covenant with God, and they receive their Christian name. And if you read the baptismal office, you'll see those components are still included in that. During Christmastide, the church leads us to meditate upon the incarnation of Jesus and what it means for us. The word incarnation really just has to do with the fact that the Son of God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. We're reminded of the divine nature of Jesus in the giving of his name, interestingly enough. This was something that the Father would typically do at the ceremony on the eighth day. You may recall this from the story of the birth of John the Baptist. On the day of his circumcision, his father Zacharias, remember, had been stricken, unable to speak since the time that the angel had announced to him that he was going to have a son because he didn't believe. And so he was unable to speak during those 9 months. But when the time came to give the child his name, his mother said his name is John. And so they turned to the father, like, John, you don't have any other Johns in your family. So they turned to Zacharias, and Zacharias took a tablet and wrote, his name is John. At that moment, you remember that his mouth was opened and he praised God. I'm sure that at Jesus' circumcision, Joseph gave his name. That was the custom. But we know from the text that the decision as to what his name would be was not ultimately his, because this was the Son of God. St. Luke even reminds us of this when he writes, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. In other words, his name came from his Father, that is, from God. 9 months prior to that day, this name was given by Gabriel to the Virgin Mary. And St. Matthew records for us that the same was true whenever the angel visited Joseph. So as we reflect upon this very ordinary event in the life of a Jewish child, we are reminded that this is no ordinary child. He is the Son of God. But in another sense, he appeared to be as every other Jewish son. Like every other male, he was both circumcised and named on the eighth day. This tradition went all the way back to the days of Abraham. When God established his covenant with him, Abram, as his name was at that point, was circumcised, and his name was changed to Abraham. And that, of course, gave rise to this event. His sons were to be circumcised on the eighth day, and that's when they were given their name, because of that first event. God also promised Abraham, "I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. You shall be a father of many nations." Jesus was born to fulfill that promise, to extend God's covenant, his covenant of grace, to all people. Jesus was born as Abraham's descendant and received the sign of the covenant by being circumcised in the flesh, just like every other Jewish boy who was 8 days old. As St. Paul reminds us, he was born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Meaning, the Son of God was circumcised because he was uniting himself with those he came to save, namely us. The book of Hebrews reinforces this truth by telling us, in all things Jesus had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Our commemoration of the circumcision of Christ leads us to reflect on the truth that the Son of God was born of the Virgin Mary, and it also foreshadows in several ways the purpose for which he came. The name which God gave to Mary and Joseph by way of the angel reminds us of this. Jesus' name means salvation of the Lord. And the angel's message to Joseph clarified this, because the angel said to him explicitly that this name was given to him because he shall save his people from their sins. As we say in the Creed each week, it was for us men and for our salvation that Christ came down from heaven. If we fast forward the story 33 years, we also know the way in which our salvation was accomplished. This sinless, spotless Son of God would one day offer himself as a sacrifice for us. He bore our sins in his own body on the cross, and this was foreshadowed by the rite of circumcision. The precious blood that was shed on Calvary was first shed on the 8th day at his circumcision. He united himself with us under the law as a faithful son of Abraham. But unlike every other son of Abraham, he actually kept the law in its entirety. Just think, Jesus never had to pray, "Lord, have mercy upon us, or upon me, and incline my heart to keep this law." He kept God's law in its entirety. And this, of course, qualified him to be our Redeemer. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves, and this began with him submitting to this rite of the covenant. St. Paul tells us he was obedient even to the point of death. So what does all of this mean for us? Well, it means our eternal salvation. What we could not do because of our sinful nature inherited from our first parents, he was able to do because he was born without sin. Since he knew no sin, he could be a faithful and eternal high priest for his people. He came and accomplished our salvation and then sat down at the right hand of God. And that means that now we can call upon his holy name for our salvation. For we're told in Scripture, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." We call upon Jesus Christ in faith, and we receive his name at our baptism. In our baptism, we're united with Christ. All that he accomplished on our behalf becomes ours when we are baptized in his name. And at that point, we become Christians, literally little Christs. The famous medieval monk, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, affirmed this when he wrote, "I am a partaker of the name. I am a sharer of the inheritance. I am a Christian. I am a brother of Christ. If I am what I am called, I am the heir of God and co-heir with Christ." These profound words also are true concerning us. Jesus Christ came to save us and to make us the children of God. So today, as we celebrate this event in the life of our Lord, we do so because it's associated with our salvation. He came to save us. And that work extends all the way back to the 8th day of his life, when his blood was shed for the first time, foreshadowing our redemption. Let us praise God for his grace in sending his Son to rescue us. And in this new year, let us seek to walk worthy of the name that we have received on account of our association with him. that is the name of a Christian. Amen. Now let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."